Good morning, everyone. Okay, so it's 3 to 14 today. Okay. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
That's good. It'd be great if you have your Bibles open. That's what you might have missed me saying with the mic not on. If you don't have a Bible, there are some just around the corner there as well. Why don't we pray? Lord God, please help us right now as we read your word. Please, by your Spirit, give us understanding so that we can know your will, so that we can live your way, so that we can grow as followers of Jesus. But remind us as well, as we live as Christians, to know what it is we've been saved from and saved for. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we've been going through some of Paul's prayers, we've looked at Ephesians and we've looked at Philippians. Today we are looking at Colossians. And today as we come to Paul's prayer for the Colossians, this is Paul's prayer. He prays, "I pray that you would know, so that you would grow, because the gospel is like, whoa." Oh, someone was here last service. Now, as Alison has indicated, it's time for some audience participation. So, when I say whoa today, I want you to say whoa. And it's got to come from in here as well. So, this is how it goes. I pray that you would know, so that you would grow, because the gospel is like, whoa. Whoa. Actually, that's much better than the first time at the first service, and because like we're commenting, like it's pretty bad grammar what I've just done, but we're trying to express what it is we think of the gospel, and Paul through his prayer he's saying, "I pray that you would know, so that you would grow, because of the gospel." And this prayer, it should affect you in two main ways. It should inform how you think about your own Christian life, know and grow because of the gospel. And it should inform how you pray, knowing and growing because of the gospel. And so he says, "I pray that you would know, so that you would grow, because the gospel is like, whoa." Oh, man, so good. Let's start with the first bit. "I pray that you would know." And hopefully you think, know what? What is this thing? What is it that Paul wants them to know? He wants them to know the will of God. Verse 9, "for this reason." Now, Paul does this all the time. So if you remember from Ephesians, it was just like this one long thing where he's just building on and building on. So he refers to something and he says, "but this," and then "now this," and then "and this," and "therefore this." And he uses little phrases like this, "for this reason." So you've got to know what's come before, and that's what Talina just read for us. And what comes before his prayer is Paul telling the Colossians about what God is doing through the world. What God is doing through the world is also happening at the local level in Colossae, where the Colossians live. And so he's slotting them into the broader picture of what God is doing across the world. And so he says, for this reason, as in because that's what God's doing, verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Okay, so you break that down a little bit, and he prays, God, fill them with the knowledge, so that he wants them to be filled with knowledge, but of what? Of your will. How? Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And the Spirit here, that's God, that's the Holy Spirit, giving wisdom and understanding so that they understand God's will. That's his prayer. And so you note the source of understanding God's will. That's God. God's will is not discovered by seeking his will in some or from some third party. God is the one who gives understanding about his will. And by the way, God's Spirit giving understanding is necessarily attached to what God has already said in his word. I think you see that in this next little bit. And that's important to think about, because sometimes we can go, I need God to speak directly to me so that I can understand his will. But God has spoken directly to you. That's the Bible. Oh no, I need something more than that. The Bible doesn't tell me which school to send my kids to. I like the Bible, but it doesn't tell me who to marry and where to live and what job to take. And so I want God to tell me his will on those things. And so unless he tells me really clearly about those things, God's will is a mystery to me. But you see what comes next here in Paul's prayer. He prays that they would know God's will so that, verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. He's saying that God's will for them is that they live a life worthy of the Lord. And so if you think God's will is a mystery, you're actually, I'm not sure you're really paying attention to what Paul's saying. And he's solving the mystery. God's will for you is to live a life worthy of the Lord. And that is really saying a life of obedience. And just so often in the Bible, this idea of knowing God's... See, like when we think of God knowing God's will, we are usually thinking something about this smaller decision in my life, this sort of finite thing I've got to work out right now. I want to know God's will about that. The Bible very rarely talks about knowing God's will in that kind of zone. Usually the Bible, when it's talking about knowing God's will, is actually about knowing how to live God's way. Knowing God's will in the Bible is knowing how to be an obedient child. And so that's why Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Because that is God's will for you, to seek after him. And everything else will be given to you, he says. God's will is living God's way. God's will is obeying his commands. God's will for your life is listening to and doing what his word says you should do. That's living a life pleasing to the Lord. There's a great book. It's called Just Do Something. Just Do Something. And the idea of the book is that Christians can get so preoccupied with those deliberations, like picking a school or a spouse or a job or whatever. And so often we get this surge of stress that are caused by those deliberations. And even just reflecting on myself, so often that stress is rooted in a lack of faith in God. The one who knows the beginning from the end. And often, I reflect on myself. Where I'm deliberating actually because I want to please myself in every way, rather than wanting to please him in every way. And so it's like this self-induced stress that I develop for myself. And so I say, well, I just want to know God's will on this, but really what I'm saying is, perhaps I don't trust God's sovereignty in this. And the point of this Just Do Something book is that God's will is actually pretty simple obey his word, act in godliness, and then use your wisdom that God prays, that Paul prays God would give, and just do something. Just do something. And the writer, he writes this in that book. He writes, "The end of the matter is this: live for God, obey the scriptures, think of others before yourself, be holy, love Jesus. And as you do these things, do whatever else you like, with whomever you like, wherever you like, and you'll be walking in the will of God." And that's not usually how we think about the will of God, I think. But I think that's what Paul is praying for the Colossians. He prays that they would know God's will so that they can, pretty simply, live for God. Obey the scriptures. Think of others before themselves. Be holy. Love Jesus. Now, I totally think it's right to deliberate in this zone of questions, of decisions. It's right to pray for myself and for others, God, help me to make this decision. Help them to make the decision. That's a right thing to pray. But don't ever detach those sort of God show me what to do kind of prayers. Don't detach that from this idea, this acknowledgement that actually you already know God's will. To live a life worthy of him, to please him. And so Paul prays that they would know that. Number one, I pray that you would know. Number two, so that you would grow. And so here is verses 10 to 12. So number one was, I pray that they would know. I pray that you would know, verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And then he fills that out, that idea of what it means to please him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. Now, if you're sort of paying attention there, there's, like you might notice all of the ing words. You know, like so to run is something, it's something that I would do. But if I'm running, it means I'm still going. Like, I ate, that's something that's been done. I am eating, that's like, it's an ing word. And so you notice them all here. Bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened, giving thanks. And so these are what you might call sort of continuing action verbs. And like, so a verb is like an action word. And these are four continuing action verbs. They're things that you do, and then you keep on doing them. And so the first one there, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. To live a life worthy of the Lord, well, you're bearing fruit. And the idea is, I mean, you've been saved by Jesus. You've been made into a new creation. And the way you live is the fruit-bearing branch of that tree. Your good works are the produce of the seed of the gospel that's been planted in you. And we talked about that last week too. The second ing word, growing in the knowledge of God. It's a continuing thing. You can't just say that you've grown up in the knowledge of God. It's actually that you're growing. And so this is why we need to pay attention to what the Bible says. And it's through his word that we grow in knowledge of God. You can't love him if you don't know him through his word. You can't worship him as he ought to be worshipped if you don't know him through his word. You can't live a life worthy of him if you don't know him through his word. The third ing word, being strengthened. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Strengthened to work great miracles, is it? Strengthened to be victorious in all of life, strengthened so that you never fail and never get sick and never stumble and never face opposition. It's actually just way less fancy than that. It's strengthened, verse 11, so that you might have great endurance and patience. There's so much about the Christian life that is just mundane and that is just like pushing through and just continuing on and enduring through the mundaneness of life. But, you know, like we've got this bookshop coming up. Like we're going to have a bookshop here next week. And so I've been thinking about some good books for us to have. And what you notice when you're looking for good Christian books is that there are many Christian books that are published about God's power strengthening you, but not actually that many about God's power strengthening you to have great endurance when following Jesus is hard. Books on like having a long-suffering patience when you're sick. Books about God's strength enabling you to keep going when you're out of options. And yet that's the burden of what Paul prays. God strengthen them, not so that everyone can see that they are just victorious, but so that when they are the opposite of what the world sees as victorious, they press on. They continue. They keep following Jesus. And then the fourth action here, giving joyful thanks to the Father. Just like you don't graduate out of bearing fruit, you don't graduate out of growing in knowledge and being strengthened. Those are continuous things. Giving thanks to God is this continuous thing for those that seek to please Him. And you really notice this in Paul's prayers. Like he says, I think in every one we've looked at so far, he's said this, that this is what he does. I continually thank God because of you. That's just this obvious characteristic of the way he prays. Giving joyful thanks to the Father. And so you've got these four continuous actions, these four ongoing things that sum up so much of the Christian life. And if you're thinking that you don't know what to pray for Christians, this is a great thing to pray. So I know that some of you pray through our church directory, which is just really great. If you've ever tried to do that, it can be pretty hard if you don't know people. So you go through the directory and come to someone and you think, I don't really know what to pray for them. Pray this. But then also pray it for people that you do know. Pray these things. Pray that that we would be ongoing Christians, Christians who continue to grow. Because I think too many of us become sedentary Christians. And we get so comfortable sitting on the fat couch of life, just stuffing our faces with the junk of the Western world and reclining in our comfortable materialism, that we stop growing. And we find this happy, comfy place where we're not challenged to grow, we're not challenged to bear fruit through what we do, we're not driven to know more and more about God, to want to be strengthened, to give thanks and keep giving thanks. We get stuck in these ruts, and we get stuck in, so Piper calls it the inertia of mediocrity. And so it takes a little while to think about what that means. But there is something about just us plateauing that is so hard to then get out of. It's got its own inertia. That's hard to get over. Now, if you drive on a highway, so you go up to Canberra and you decide you're going to drive to Sydney, basically all highway. You drive out of Canberra, get on the highway, and you accelerate. It's right to accelerate. But then it's right to ease off the throttle. To ease off the throttle and cruise at that speed, maybe turn on your cruise control. It's a good and right thing to do, and to coast to Sydney. But follower of Jesus, you have to purposefully turn off your cruise control. The Christian life is not coasting to the goal. It's hitting the highway and then accelerating to the end. Now, it's not a sprint. It's not over quickly. We are in it for like this marathon race. But the Bible is telling us that the way that we make it to the end of that is to stop coasting and accelerate. If the Christian life were a literal drive along the highway, by the time you get to Sydney, you'd be just humming. And I wonder, is your cruise control just stuck at on? And like, do you need to purposefully, prayerfully turn off that cruise control and start growing? Pray for God's help to grow. Pray for others that they would not coast and cruise, but would be growing. I pray that you would know so that you would grow, Paul says. And then the whole tone of the passage just shifts into something different. So we've just had this repeated use of continuous action, four variations of grow and keep growing, grow and keep growing, bearing fruit, growing, being strengthened, giving thanks. But then the verbs, these action words, they all shift. Look at verses 12 and 13. And giving joyful thanks to the Father, so that's the last sort of continuing action, giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Qualified is a completed action. Rescued, completed action. Brought in, completed action. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, completed action. The Christian life, it is this combination of continuing things, continually growing, continuous work of God in our lives, continuous pressing on as we continue to follow Jesus. But don't miss the importance of the shift in 12 to 14. That continuing action of the Christian life, it happens because of the completed action of the gospel. The completed action of our qualification, of our rescue, of us being brought in, of being redeemed and forgiven. I pray that they would know so that they would grow, because the gospel, it's like, whoa, it is. What God has already done, already accomplished, already completed, that is the basis for then how the follower of Jesus continues to live. Now, I'll just get my hoops. I've used these hoops before to talk about the realm transfer that happens when we become Christians. So let's call this black hoop the dominion of darkness. I expect it's much worse looking than this hoop. And this is the sphere that we were all travelling in. You were in this sphere, in this realm, travelling through life. You don't choose to get out because you can't. You can't get out by determined effort. Your effort's not enough. And so you were here, dead in sin, a non-fruit-bearing, non-growing, non-strengthened, non Father thanking being, just stuck in the dominion of darkness. But the gospel is the news that God has taken us out. He's rescued us from this fear. He's taken us out when we could not get out. And he hasn't gotten you out just so that you can just float through the ether. He's gotten you out so that you could be qualified to get into the kingdom of light. Dominion of darkness, kingdom of light. The gospel is you go from here to here. There's no overlap. You can't be in here if you're in here. And so then you think, oh, well, how do you get into here? How do I get qualified to get into here? You see, when we think of qualifications, we think of the training we've done, or the education we've got, or the experience we've had, and those things qualify us to get the job we want. And if you get a job based on someone else's qualifications, well, you by definition still not qualified for the job, and actually you don't belong there. But this is the gospel. The Father has qualified you to go from here to here on the basis of the qualifications of God. God gets you here. And so you can imagine a boss saying to an employer or a prospective employee, look, you're clearly not qualified for this, and so I'm sorry, but you don't belong here. You're not qualified, so you don't belong here. I expect there are people that have those conversations every day. But can you imagine a boss saying, you're not qualified to be here, but I am qualified enough for you to be here, for you to belong here even? And in many ways, it doesn't make sense. You don't belong there. You are unqualified. But God says, no, you are not qualified to come into my kingdom, into light and life and salvation, but it's on the basis of my qualifications that you get in. And this has always been the way. Israel were not saved because of Israel. Israel was saved because of God, who God was. And so you come to sort of like the defining moment of who Israel is as God gives them the Ten Commandments, as he gives them the law. They're on Mount Sinai. He does not start with, you are mine because you're going to keep this law. He starts with, you are mine because I brought you out. Because I'm the God of all compassion. Because I have compassion on whom I have compassion. Because I'm the gracious and compassionate God who has plucked you out to be my special possession. God qualifies his people. His people do not and never have qualified themselves. And being holy and righteous and perfect, his qualifications lead him to act by redeeming, by buying you out of this kingdom and bringing you into this kingdom. And bringing you in by a single qualifying and completed act. You get in by the death and resurrection of Jesus. You get in here because Jesus once for all cries out on the cross, finished, completed, done. That's how you get in. So that everyone who believes in Jesus, who trusts in his death and resurrection, you are in his kingdom and you are qualified to be there. You belong there because he has qualified you. And so you are there because of redemption through Jesus, finished, completed, done. And now that you're here, you do bear fruit. You do your life is defined or characterized by those ing words, those continuing verbs. You bear fruit, you grow, you are strengthened, you thank God. But that continuing stuff, that didn't get you in. It never got you in. Now, I said at the start that all of this should inform how we live and how we pray. This should inform how you pray for people, like in your prayers. You've got to get the mix of continuing action and completed action right. Pray that Christians, that your brothers and sisters here, as well as your brothers and sisters overseas, around the world, pray that we continue in growing, living a life that's pleasing to God, but pray it on the basis of the completed work of Jesus. Pray for the continuation on the basis of the completed. And so pray this kind of structure. I pray that they would know so that they may grow because the gospel is like, whoa. Pray that they would know how to live for God so that we would grow as we live for God. But pray because God has qualified us. He's brought us in. He's redeemed us and forgiven us. The news that Jesus has saved us through Jesus, it should shape and inform how we pray and what we pray for. And by the way, it's just a great prayer tip. Start praying the gospel. So let the gospel shape your prayers, but also let the gospel actually fill the content of your prayers. Don't just pray, God, help me to grow. God, strengthen the people in my church. Instead, pray, God, help me to grow because of what you've done for me in Jesus. Because you've brought me here. And so help me to do what is consistent with me belonging here. Strengthen my church to endure and be patient because you have purchased us and qualified us to share in this inheritance that we can't lose, that is bigger than anything we experience here. And so bring the gospel into how you pray for others. Bring it into how you pray in private or in public. Why not pray it as you, like when you're saying grace around the dinner table. Pray the gospel there. You can thank God for the food, but thank him on the basis of the gospel. It's because of the gospel that you can come before your Heavenly Father. It's because of the gospel that God has not just provided this meal, but he's provided for you eternally. And so, let the gospel inform your prayers. And then, of course, let the gospel inform how you live. How you live. If you're not growing as a Christian, and therefore not living a life pleasing to the Lord, perhaps you need to think a bit harder about the completed work of Jesus. Let the completed work of Jesus make you seek to bear fruit in your life as you work to serve and to love the people around you. Let the completed work of Jesus make you work hard to want to know God better, to long to study his word deeper. Because, I mean, you want to know the God that saved you, right? Let the completed work of Jesus strengthen you for hard times, enduring through, being patient. Let his completed work drive you towards a position of just like continual, joyful thanks. Because, like, I mean, do you see what it is Paul has written at the end here? Have you gotten used to the gospel? Because you shouldn't be used to it. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is, whoa, big. I pray that you would know so that you would grow, because the gospel, it's like, whoa. Let's pray. Our Lord God, help us to just be in awe of what you have done. Help us to meditate on the completed saving work of Jesus that has brought us out from death and sin into life and righteousness. And so help us, knowing that to be true, to live a life that is in step with your Spirit, that is a life in step with who it is you've made us into, this new creation. And so, knowing that to be true, give us a drive to accelerate right to the end, to keep growing, because we do know what you require of us. You have made yourself very clear, and so help us to be obedient children who love our Father and just want to keep growing in that relationship. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. The musicians are going to lead us.